భద్రం కర్ణే విశృణుయామదేవాః భద్రం పశ్యేమాక్షభిర్యజత్రాః స్థిరైరంగైస్తుష్టువాగుంసస్తనూభిః విశేమదేవహితం యదాయుః స్వస్తి న ఇంద్రో వృద్ధశ్రవాః స్వస్తి న పూషా విశ్వవేదాః స్వస్తి నస్తార్క్ష్యో అరిష్టనేమిః స్వస్తి నో బృహస్పతిర్దధాతు. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. సో వి ఆర్ సీయింగ్ ది ఫోర్త్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ మాండూక్య కారిక, అండ్ ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ వెబినార్ వి సెడ్ దట్ ద టీచింగ్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది కారిక వాస్ ఓవర్ విత్ ది థర్డ్ చాప్టర్, నేమ్లీ ది అద్వైత ప్రకరణం. సో దర్ ఇస్ నో రియల్ స్కోప్ ఫర్ ది ఫోర్త్ చాప్టర్ ఆఫ్ ది కారిక అట్ ఆల్. But Gaudapadacharya, he consolidates all aspects of Vedantic teaching before he winds it up. So we do not get any new idea here in the fourth chapter, but it is only a reinforcement of the teaching given in the first three chapters. Since he is bringing in all the different aspects, this is also the largest chapter with 100 shlokas. So if you look at the content of this chapter, we can broadly divide this content into three parts. The first part is the elaboration of the Ajatiwada. We introduced this term already earlier. That is given in the third chapter, which alone is presented in the following four points. I mentioned all these in the last webinar. So number one is existence of the world is to be negated, and the origination of the world is to be negated, and the appearance and the experience of the world, they have to be accepted, and the appearance is because of the power of Maya. So these four put together is called Ajatiwada. And in these four, the second one is most important, which is the origination of the world is negated, ajati, non-origination. And in the second part, the mithyatvam of the world is discussed. Even though the world does not originate, it appears in front of us, like dream. The appearance and the experience of the world without origination is called mithya. Like for example, the rope snake that appears for me without actually originating from the rope. And Gaudapadacharya discusses this with an example unique to the karika, which is alatham. And the example will be elaborated later. We will see in detail later. So this example is so popular that the fourth chapter is called Alatha Shanti Prakarana. So the third part is the summary of the entire Vedanta, in which Atmaswarupam, Atmaswarupa Jnanam, Atmaswarupa Jnana Sadhanam, and Atmaswarupa Jnana Phalam all are discussed. So these are the main three sections of the fourth chapter. And the first two shlokas, they are like the Mangala shlokas, in which Gaudapadacharya offers prostration to the Adi Guru Narayana, because we look upon Narayana as the first Guru. I mentioned the shloka starting from Narayanam Padmabhavam and all in the last webinar. So from the third shloka onwards, Gaudapadacharya starts the Ajatiwada teaching, showing origination can never be explained by any philosopher because there is no origination at all. Vedas say that not only does the world not originate, but it does not exist also. So all these were discussed in the third chapter. Now, Gaudapadacharya has lifted shlokas 20, 21 and 22 of the third chapter and formed the 6th, 7th and 8th shlokas of this chapter, and that we saw in the last class. So we saw up to here in the last class. Now let us continue with the 9th shloka.
Samsiddhiki Swabhaviki Sahaja Akritachayam ప్రకృతి సేతి విజ్ఞేయా స్వభావం న జహాతియా.
Samsiddhihi, the complete attainment, any result from that is Samsiddhihi. So, Samsiddhihi means complete attainment, and any result from that is Samsiddhihi. So, Samsiddhihi, and Swabhaviki means intrinsic. Sahaja, instinctive, both are. So, Ya Akrita, whatever is not produced, that is not produced by anything else. Example, for example, if you take water, the tendency of water to flow down, that is its tendency. Who produced it? So, Ya Na Jahati Swabhavam, that does not change its character. Na Jahati. Sa Vigneya, all that is to be known in this world as Prakriti, as nature. So, Prakriti is to be known as that which does not give up itself, which is permanently accomplished, which is inherent, which is inborn, which is uncreated. So, here Gaudapada says that everything in the creation has an incidental nature and an intrinsic nature. Incidental nature is subject to arrival and departure. Intrinsic nature never comes and goes, and it is always present. For example, fire is intrinsically hot, but water heated by fire becomes hot, and the hotness of the water is incidental. All this we know. And Gaudapada Acharya says that intrinsic nature of an object can never be lost. Atma's nature is moksha, liberation. This nature will never be lost. So, every Jivatma is naturally liberated. So, what should Jiva do to get moksha? If moksha is not the Jiva's nature, the Jiva will never get it. And even if the Jiva gets it, it will not be permanent. So, we study Vedanta not to get moksha, because a lot of people have this confusion. We study Vedanta to get moksha, but it is to understand that we are never bound at any time. We have the notion that we are sadhakas, and so we pray regularly to the Guru that we should get moksha in this birth. This is not at all warranted. Shankaracharya gives 4 examples for Prakriti. 1. Prakriti is similar to supernatural powers of Siddha Purushas. They are born with such powers. And Prakriti is like the intrinsic nature of some objects, like the heat or the fire. And Prakriti is like certain faculties of some beings that are present from birth itself, like the flying power of a bird. And Prakriti is like the natural tendencies of certain objects, like water naturally finding its level flowing from higher to lower level. These are all called Prakriti. And all these are called intrinsic nature of things and will never be lost at any time. And having defined this, Gaudapada Acharya says that every Jivatma has certain intrinsic nature. Satchit Ananda, happiness and liberation are intrinsic to us. Swami Dayananda says that we never try to remove the happiness when we are happy, because that is our nature. So, whenever there is sorrow, we try to remove it. The very fact that, you know, we try to remove sorrow, that indicates it's not our intrinsic nature. Also, whenever someone is happy, we do not question why you are happy. But we do ask sometimes, if somebody is sad, why you are sad? What bothers you? So, Satchidananda and Moksha are our intrinsic nature, and we should claim it. Shloka 10. Jara marana nirmuktaha sarve dharma swabhavataha jara marana michantaha chavante tanmanishayam. Sarve dharmaha. Here dharma means all jivas. All jivas, they are swabhavataha by nature jara marana nirmuktaha. They are totally free from old age and death. Jara marana michantaha, attributing the old age, attributing old age and death, chavante tan manishaya, they fall, chavante, because of that very thought. So, the aim of Vedanta is to help every Jivatma to claim that he or she is the immortal Paramatma, and that he does not become Paramatma. Every Jivatma is free from old age, death, all those. In short, Jivatma is not mortal. Even though that mortality is Jiva's real nature, immortality is Jiva's real nature, every Jiva has the strong notion that I am immortal. I am mortal. Mortality is not a fact, but it is a notion. Attributing mortality to oneself, the very thought is denial of one's own nature. Because of the preservation of that misconception very carefully all along, every Jivatma falls into samsara. It is an eternal trap. I take myself as Jivatma. Once I accept the origination of Jivatma, I will have to accept the origination of the world and then Ishvara as the creator. All those have to come. Thus, I have fallen into the Jiva, Jagat, Ishvara triangular format. We already saw this also earlier. So, falling into samsara is falling into this triangular format. I am a miserable Jiva, constantly facing problems from the world. When every problem comes, I have to rush to Ishvara, and this goes on endlessly, from birth to birth to birth. I will never get out of this problem, because if I complain to Bhagavan that the world is giving me problems, what will the answer from Bhagavan? So if I am in a triangular format, most powerful factor is karma and not Bhagavan. Bhagavan only gives the phalam to the karmas done by the Jiva. You can never get out of this problem. So Bhagavan also cannot help. Even death is not the solution. Out of Sanchita Karma, Bhagavan will take a portion and give the Jiva another body. When will I exhaust Sanchita Karma? It is inexhaustible. So once I conclude that I am a Jiva and there is a Jagat and I have to rush to Ishvara to solve all my problems of samsara, I have to eternally suffer. Therefore, the question is, the fundamental thing is, instead of assuming that I am a Jiva, I should ask the question, am I really a Jiva? We never conduct this self-inquiry at all. We conduct all other inquiries. Upon inquiry, we find world and Jiva have never been created. Then what has been there all the time? Brahman. And where is that blessed Brahman? I am that Brahman. Wake up from dream number 2. I have woken up from dream number 1 by really waking up from bed. The dream world, I woke up from there. And I have entered into dream number 2, which is the waking world. I have to wake up to still higher nature. I am neither Vishwa, nor Taijasa, nor Prajna. We should be all familiar with all these terms now. So I am the Turiyatma. So Brahma Karanavada or Dvaitavada has been negated from 6th to the 10th shlokas. Hereafter, Gaudapadacharya takes up Sankhya Yoga teaching in 3 shlokas that we will read. Shloka number 11. Karanam yasya vai karyam, karanam tasya jayate, jayamanam katamajam, bhinnam nityam katanchayate. So, karanam yasya vai karyam, karanam tasya jayate. The cause is born for him, for whom the cause is identical with the effect. Katham jayamanam ajam. How can katham, an originating entity jayamanam, be unborn ajam? And katham bhinnam nityancha tat. How can that changing entity, bhinnam, how that can be nityam, eternal? So the cause must undergo birth according to whom the cause itself is the effect. Then how can a thing be birthless that takes birth, and how can it be eternal when it is subject to disintegration? So this is what the shloka says. We'll just see the shloka, but we are going to see the summary of all these shlokas together. Shloka 12. Karana adyadyananyatvam atakaryamajam yadi jayamanadhivaikayat karanam te katham dhruvam. Yadi karanat ananyatvam karyam ataha. If the non-difference, ananyatvam, if the non-difference of the effect karyam from the cause that is accepted, then yadi the effect will be unborn. So katam dhruvam te karanam. How can it be eternal dhruvam for your cause which is non-different? So karyat jayamanat, from the effect which is born. So if the effect be non-different from the cause, then on account of the effect too, that is birthless, then how can your cause be still eternal, it being non-different from its effect which is subject to birth? So these are all simple shlokas only, but we will see the total summary together. And shloka 13, ajadvai jayate yasya drishtantastasya nasti vai jata chajayamanasya navyavastha prasajyate drishtantaha tasya vai nasti. There is no example drishtanta for him tasya. Ajadvai jayate yasya, for whom, yes, yeah, for whom an effect is born out of an unborn cause, ajatvai jayate. Na vyavastha prasajyate, there will be no solution, no vyavastha at all, prasajyate. Jata chem jayamanaha, of an effect which is born out of a cause which is born. So this is so many bonds and unbonds are said so many times. So we may get confused, so we have to pay attention. There is no supporting solution to the one who says that the effect is produced out of an unborn cause. If the product effect is held to be born out of another born entity, that too leads to no solution. So now let us look at all the three shlokas together. Earlier, two powerful theories were talked about. One is called the Asatkaryavada of Nyaya Vaisheshika system, and the other is called Satkaryavada of the Sankhya Yogas. So between these two, Asatkaryavada is weaker and Satkaryavada is stronger among these two. So Gaudapadacharya does not discuss the Asatkaryavada because it is too weak to consider. But we should understand how Asatkaryavada is a wrong theory. Even though Gaudapada doesn't discuss, we have to at least understand. So let us go through a little discussion on the Asatkaryavada also. So for example, what is Asatkaryavada? When a bangle is created out of gold, is a non-existent bangle born or an existent bangle created? So this is what the question is. When the bangle is created out of gold, does it mean a non-existent bangle was born or an existent bangle created? And existent bangle need not be created. Therefore, a goldsmith must be creating a non-existent bangle alone from the existent gold. We have to be closely, following this. So, in this theory, what is the logical fallacy in the question? We say that there are Shruti Virodha, Yukti Virodha and even Language Virodha in this argument. The Upanishads clearly say elsewhere that a non-existent thing can never originate at all. Shruti negates Asatkaryavada. A non-existent thing can never be created, can never originate. So applying simple language rules also, one can see the fallacy. What is the statement? A non-existent bangle originates. So every sentence should at a minimum have a subject and a verb. So verb refers to an action, and it cannot be in the sentence without a subject. So the verb is what here? Originates. And the subject is what? Bangle. And what type of bangle? It is a non-existent bangle. Therefore, the sentence is without a subject. Grammatically, Asatkaryavada statement does not hold true. And the third objection is Pratyaksha Virodha. Suppose a person says, a non-existent bangle newly comes to existence out of an existent gold. A non-existent bangle newly comes to existence out of an existent gold, if somebody says. So after the goldsmith creates the bangle, there are now two things. Previously we had existent gold was there, and thereafter a new bangle has originated. So what is the new bangle? It is a non-existent bangle that came into existence. Now there is an existent bangle according to Asatkaryavada. Previously what was there? Existent gold alone was there. Now what is the addition? The non-existent bangle has come to existent new. Now there must be two things. What are they? Existent gold and existent ornament, which has newly come to existence. Then there are two things. And what should be the combined weight of both of them? There should be an increased weight. When the bangle is made, the weight does not increase but only decreases. So one can never talk about origination of a non-existent entity as a new entity. So according to the law of conservation of matter, nothing new can be created. So the Asatkaryavada is fallacious. So Asatkaryavada is refuted by the Sankhya Yoga Vada. Satkaryavadi gives his argument, and what does he say, the Sankhya Yogins? Non-existent bangle never comes to existence because nothing new can be ever created. Bangle was already existent. Goldsmith does not create one. The bangle was already existent. Then the question is, if the bangle is already existent, why should the goldsmith work for the creation of the bangle? Further, the Satkaryavadi says that the bangle already existed, but not in a bangle form, but it existed in a different form. So what is meant by a creation of a bangle is really not creation, but only a transformation of the previous substance into a new configuration, new name and form. The creation is not a production of matter, but a transformation that is either natural or artificial. When the transformation takes place, the previous condition is called karanam, and the later transformed condition is called karyam. Karanam and karyam are one and the same substance only. Gold and bangle are one and the same substance only. The creation here is the transformation of the lump form of gold into the bangle form. So in Satkaryavada, nothing is produced. The creation is only a transformation. And number two, since nothing new is produced, karanam and karyam are essentially one and the same substance in two different forms. So for example, when yogurt is produced from milk, nothing is produced. You have only transformed milk into yogurt form. Yogurt production is only a transformation. A tree coming out of seed is not creation of a tree. Only transformation of the unmanifest to manifest form. Similarly, world has originated due to transformation of a cause. World is created not by production, but by a transformation of a cause, which was the previous condition of the world. The world is produced by transformation of its cause, which existed before. The cause is same as the world only, but not in world form, but in a different form. World is created by transformation. Satkaryavada or Parinamavada. So creation has come by the modification of a cause, which is nothing but creation in a previous condition. And Sankhya Yogi calls that cause as Prakriti. So Prakriti is the Karanam and Prapancha is the Karyam. Prakriti does not produce Prapancha, but production will be, actually Nyaya Vaishika system only, they talk about production. Here Sankhya says it transforms or evolves into Prapancha. It is transformation, otherwise called evolution. And various stages of evolutions are given. Prakriti transformed into Prapancha. Prakriti is Karanam and prapancha is karyam, and they are the same substance. And this prakriti is mula karanam, that is why it is called mula prakriti, and this is satkarya vada. And Gaudapada Acharya has to now refute this satkarya vada also. So in these two shlokas, Gaudapada Acharya refutes satkarya vada by giving four arguments. Actually, we just read the shloka and only the little meaning. Now we are now discussing the shloka. Now if you take shloka number 11, we ask the Sankhyavadi what the nature of Prakriti is. Where did Prakriti come from? And the Sankhyavadi's answer is what? Prakriti being Mula Prakriti is the original cause. It cannot come from somewhere. It is without a beginning. It has been there as Prakriti always. Is Prakriti destructible or not? For that he says that Prakriti cannot be destroyed, because if Prakriti is destroyed, later creation cannot come. And so Prakriti is Nityam. And according to Sankhyavadis, Prakriti is Anadi, it is Anantam, and it is Nityam. So this Anadi, Ananta, Nitya, Mula Prakriti evolves into creation. That is the argument. So, as we even hear that, the logical fallacy becomes clear to us. And that is what is said in here. If Prakriti is Anadi, Anantam and Nityam, it will not be subject to change. Like for example, Brahman. It is Nityam, it cannot change. And it has to be Nirvikaram without any modification. Then how can that evolve into universe? For evolution, it has to undergo change. So this is the logical fallacy in shloka number 11. This is fallacy number 1. And in the 12th shloka, Gaudapada Acharya says, according to the Satkaryavadi, Karanam and Karyam are essentially the same. So one and the same substance is called Karanam in the prior condition and Karyam in the later condition. So if iceberg is melted into water, the same substance water is called Karanam in the solid condition, iceberg, and Karyam in the liquid condition, water. So if ice cubes are produced from water, then liquid is Karanam and solid is Karyam. We are talking about the melting of ice and also again solidifying water into ice. So thus there are only two different conditions, but the substance is one and the same. Therefore, Gaudapada Acharya, he elaborates, Prakriti is Karanam and Prapancha is Karyam. So, Prakriti and Prapancha are same substance, their essential nature must be same. So, according to the Satkaryavadis, Prakriti is Ajam, Unborn and Nityam and Eternal. And the world is Jatam and Anityam. World is born and it is not permanent. Now, the question is, either it should be said that both are ajatam, both are not born and nityam, or both are born and anityam. So if both are ajatam and nityam, or both are jatam and anityam, that's what should have been told. But what is said is, Prakriti is ajatam and nityam, and prapancha is jatam and anityam. So the karana karya aikya equation does not tally, because two different natures are ascribed to Karanam Prakriti and Karyam Prapancham. So this is fallacy number 2. So the third and the fourth fallacies, they are discussed in shloka number 13. So now, when logic is used, there should always be an example to prove it. Whenever you use logic, there should be an example to prove it. Whenever there is a smoke, wherever there is smoke, there is fire. So if smoke is seen in a place, one says, logically, there must be fire. This logic can be applied because fire is experienced where there is smoke. Based on that experience alone, we have developed the idea that wherever there is smoke, there must be fire. So Gaudapada Acharya argues that in our experience, every karanam itself is a karyam. Every karanam that we experience itself is itself born out of its karanam. This is our experience. Seed is karanam for the tree, but is a karyam of a previous tree. So the seed was born from the previous tree and becomes the karanam for the next tree. So that tree itself is a karyam. So karanam has a beginning. So if prakriti is a karanam, it must be a karyam of some previous condition. It cannot be without karanam. If prakriti is karanam, it cannot be anadi. Anadi means without a karanam. So this is the logical fallacy in this number 3. So the last argument is, to avoid this problem, if Sankhyavadi says that prakriti has got a karanam, then that karanam must have a karanam also, and so on. So prakriti cannot be a causeless cause. Prakriti cannot be moola karanam. So Satkaryavada is acceptable for creation within the world, like gold, bangle and ornaments, etc. But when it comes to prakriti and prapancha, Satkaryavada has got several logical loopholes, because its definition of prakriti is not logically convincing. Therefore, Asatkaryavada and Satkaryavada are both wrong. Therefore, the world has never been created. Then what has been created? Nothing has been created. All theories of creation are totally wrong. Shlokas 14 to 23. This is also another group of shlokas. We will see each one's literal meaning, but summarize all of them together. Hetora adiphalam yesham adir hetu phalasya cha heto phalasya cha nadihi katam taihi upavarnyate. Phalam adihi hetoho esham. According to some, esham, the effect is the origin of the cause. Phalam, the effect, adihi hetoho, the origin of the cause. And adihi hetoho phalasya cha. The cause is the origin of the effect. Yetoho phalasya cha anadihi katam taihi upavarnyate. How beginninglessness, anadi, of the cause and the effect be accepted by them? How can beginninglessness be declared for cause and effect by those people to whom the effect is the origin of the cause and the cause is the origin of the effect? Shloka 15. Hetora adiphalam yesham adir hetu phalasya cham tata janma bhavetesham putra janma pituryata. Yata pituhu janmam putrat. Just as a father may be born of a son, a father be born of a son, tata janma bhavet tesham. Similarly, birth is a possibility for those who say phalam adihi hetoho. The effect is the origin of the cause. And adihi phalasya hetuhu cha. The cause is the origin of the effect. So some people say the effect is the origin of the cause and the cause is the origin of the effect. It's like the previous shloka only. For them, birth will be exactly like what? Like the birth of the father out of the son. It just continues. Atma vai putra namasi. So like the same thing continues as such. Shloka 16. Sambhave hetu palayoho eshitavyakramastvaya yugapat sambhave yasmat asambandho vishanavat. Hetuhu palayoho sambhave. In the birth of the cause and the effect, if it is accepted, yeshitavyaha kramaha tvaya. Their order, krama, their order has to be found out by you. Yugapat sambhave yasmat. Because if the birth is simultaneous, asambandaha vishanavate, there will be no cause and effect. If they are simultaneous, there will be no cause and effect relationship, as between, for example, the two horns of a cow. Both the horns are simultaneously forming. So there is no cause and effect relationship at all. So a sequence has to be found, a krama, this is called sequence, that has to be found out by you in the births of cause and effect. if they have to originate together, cause and effect have to originate together, there can be no causal relation at all, as between the two horns of a cow. Shloka 17.
Palad utpadyamanaha sanna nate hetu prasidhyati aprasiddhakatanke hetu palamutpadayishyati.
Palat utpatyamanaha sanna. Being born out of the effect, te hetuhu na prasidhyati. Your cause itself is not established. Na prasidhyati. Established first. Katam hetuhu. How will a cause aprasiddhaha, which itself is not established, phalam utpadayishyati. Produce an effect. So, if your cause has to come out of an effect, it cannot be recognized. How will a cause which is not established as such produce a result? It cannot.
Shloka 18. Yadi heto palat siddhihi palasiddhischa hetutaha katarat purvanishpannam yasya siddhirapekshayam
siddhihi apekshayam. Yadi hetoho palat siddhihi. Suppose the birth of the cause is from the effect. Heti, yadi hetoho phala siddhihi. Then phala siddhischa hetutaha. The birth of the effect is from the cause. Katarate purva nishpannam. Which one is born first? Purvam. Yasya siddhihi apekshaya. Depending on which is the birth of the other. So if the subsistence of the cause depends on the effect, and that the effect on the cause, which of the two has existence earlier, with respect to which the other may emerge, whether the tree is first or seed is first, same question.
Shloka 19. Ashakti raparijnanam kramakopota vapunaha evam hi sarvata buddhehe ajati paridipitam.
Asaktihi. Your inability to reply for all these amounts to what? Aparijnanam, ignorance. Because you cannot reply to this. It's because of ignorance. Atava kramakopaha, or violation of the order, krama. Evam, thus, ajatihi sarvata buddhehe paridipita. Ajatihi, birthlessness, is revealed, paridipita, by these thinkers of by all means, sarvata buddhehe, by all means. So your inability to answer this will amount, whether seed is first or tree is first. So the inability to answer this will amount to ignorance or violation of sequence, the kramam. Thus indeed, the absence of birth is revealed by scholars in every means.
Shloka 20. Bichankurakyo drishtantaha sada sadhya samohisaha nahi sadhya samohetuho siddhau sadhyasya yujyate.
Bija ankurayoho drishtantaha. The well-known example, drishtanta of bija, seed, and the ankura, the sprout. So, sada sadhya samohisaha is yet to be proved on equal footing, sadhya samaha. So, sadhya samo hetuhu, an example which is to be proved, nahi siddhau sadhyasya yujyate, is not at all used for establishing something which is to be proved. So, the well-known example of seed and sprout is yet to be proved. An example which is to be proved is not at all used for establishing something which is to be proved. So, all the, you know, vartha jalam, all of them.
Shloka 21. Purna paraparijnanam ajate paridipakam jayamanadhi vai dharmat katam purvam nagrihyate.
Purva apara aparijnanam. Ignorance aparijnanam of the order that is precedence purvam and the succession apara. Purva apara. So the ignorance of the order paridipakam. So it's a pointer. It is being revealed of birthlessness. So jayamanadhi vai dharmat, So if it is a fact that an entity is born, katham purvam na grihyate. How is it that the cause which exists before the originating entity is not known to you? So the ignorance of the precedence and succession is a pointer to beginninglessness itself. Because if it be a fact that thing takes birth, why is not its cause grasped? Why that cause of it is not known if something has taken birth?
Svato va parato vapi na kinjit vastu jayate sadasat sadasat vapi na kinjit vastu jayate na kinjit vastu jayate.
Nothing is born. Na kinjit vastu, nothing is born. Svato va parato vapi, either of itself or of another, nothing is born.
Na kinchit vastu jayate, nothing is born, whether it is sat or asat, existent or non-existent.
Sadasadvayapi, both existent and non-existent, that's all not born.
So a thing, whatsoever it may be, is born neither of itself, nor of something else, nor of both together.
Nothing whatsoever is born that already exists, it does not exist, or both exists and does not exist.
So these are all various ways of looking at the same argument.
Shloka 23. Hetur na jayate nadehe phalam chapi swabhavatah adhir na vidyate yasya tasya adhir na vidyate. Hetuhu na jayate anadehe.
Cause hetuhu is not born na jayate of a beginninglessness, that is anadhe effect.
So phalam cha api swabhavataha.
Phalam effect is also not born out of a beginningless cause.
Both are not born by themselves also.
So they are not born of a cause. They are not by themselves also.
Adihi na vidyate yasya. Yasya hi adihi na vidyate.
For because that which has no cause has no birth.
So a cause is not born of a beginningless effect.
Nor does an effect naturally come out of a beginningless cause.
Cause and effect are thus birthless.
For a thing that has no cause has certainly no birth at all.
So in this portion, now we will summarize, see all these shlokas together, because this is an elaborate discussion. So we have to spend some time to understand all these shlokas together. That is 14 to 23. So a cause is not born of a beginningless effect.
So in this portion from the 14th to the 23rd verse, the Gaudapadacharya points out that even the theory of creation presented by the Vedas itself is not ultimately acceptable. This theory is called Vaidika Srishti Prakriya. Gaudapada himself, Vaidika Srishti, Vaidika means based on Vedas, Vaidika Srishti Prakriya. So Gaudapada himself is a Vaidika, he is a great Vedic scholar. His courage and boldness in saying that the very theory of creation given by the Vedas will not be accepted ultimately, that we have to really, you know, it's a big thing for a person to say that. And what is widely accepted by the Hindus is to be refuted. And so should be understood in the proper perspective.
So these are all places which give enormous goosebumps and also lot of, you know, head-spinning arguments.
Gaudapada's contention is that the Vedas have presented this theory of creation only for a beginner during the Adhyaropa Prakriya.
Adhyaropa and Apavada, if you remember all those arguments.
So only for a beginner it is given.
Adhyaropa refers to what is temporarily accepted, which has to be dropped later.
Scaffolding used to build a building has to be thrown out once the purpose is served, building is made.
So Vaidika Srishti is not the ultimate teaching.
It should be accepted at the Adhyaropa Kala, Adhyaropa level. And later it should be refuted.
And what is the theory of Vedas about creation?
It is called Karma Karyavada.
The law of karma is used to talk about creation, Karma Karyavada.
Whenever we talk about Srishti, in our tradition, we introduce the law of karma. the law of punyam and papam, and how does the law of karma come into being? What is the law of karma? First, we have seen that Brahman cannot be the cause for the creation because Brahman does not have the raw material. And Brahman cannot become the raw material also. Then the next question is, if Brahman itself cannot be the cause, why can't you say that Brahman with Maya Shakti, Ishvara, can be the creator? Because normally that's what we normally say. Brahman Maya coupled is the cause for creation. Why can't you accept that Ishvara is the creator of the world? Ishvara has Maya. Maya can serve as the raw material and so he can create. What is the difficulty in accepting this? For this, in Brahma Sutra, there it is said, when you say that Ishvara is the creator of the world, a big question is raised. That question has to do with the creation not being uniform and having diversity. Some jivas are born as plants, some are animals, and some are human beings. And among human beings also, some are born with good health, some with good parentage, some good wealth. Different human beings are born with different advantages and disadvantages. Why did Ishvara create the universe with so much of disparity? How come some people have advantages from birth and some have disadvantages? Why is Ishvara partial towards some jivas and cruel towards others? When you talk about Swarga and Naraka, why should some jivas be born as celestials and angels in Swarga, and why should some jivas suffer in Naraka? Why is jiva good to some people and cruel to some other people? Why is Ishvara like this? It is a question asked in Brahma Sutra. The answer given is that Ishvara does not create according to his personal wish. He only looks at the karma of every jiva. Whichever jiva has got lot of punyam, that jiva will have many advantages. And the ones that have a lot of papam will have many disadvantages. Ishvara is not responsible for disparity and diversity of creation, but karma of jivas is. Creation explanation starts from Brahman, does not have raw material, goes to Ishvara, not responsible also for creation, and goes to finally karma. So Ishvara is fair and just. And if there are differences in the creation, they are all due to the karma of jivas. Ishvara is only the samanya karanam and karma is the vishesha karanam. So this theory of creation based on karma is called karma karya vada, which is a Vaidika Shrishti Prakriya. Ishvara serves as a supervisor and cause of Srishti is only karma. Different jivas have different bodies is because of different karmas. The next natural question is, how did the karma come? Who gave the punya and papa karma? If Ishvara distributed punyam and papam, Ishvara will be again partial. So Brahman and Ishvara do not give punya papam. Jiva alone must have given them. How could the jiva have given punya papam to himself at the time of his birth when he has not even started doing any action? The body in the previous birth must have produced the current punya papam. This is karma theory. So karma, shariram, karma, shariram, karma, that cycle keeps on going. So Gaudapada Acharya says, this theory of creation based on karma can be accepted temporarily. Based on the law of karma, we do karma yoga and upasana yoga. And Gaudapada Acharya says that when you come to Vedanta, you should question this theory also. What is this karma theory also? He says that this theory of creation will also have several logical problems. So this theory has to be rejected. So the law of karma also cannot explain the creation. Then how did the creation come? It never came. If it never came, then what is it? It is an experience and an appearance. One can never talk about the chronological step-by-step process of creation. Modern cosmologists they are not able to explain the creation. The current theory predicts parallel universes, each with its own laws. Gaudapada Acharya wishes to show that what the logical fallacies are with the karma karya vada. So one should be circumspect about these points with the people who are not exposed to Vedanta yet or new to Vedanta. We have to be a little alert and careful. So Gaudapada Acharya suggests 6 possibilities of explaining karma karya vada and then refutes each one of them by showing that they are not logically possible. Since all the 6 possibilities are refuted, karma karya vada is not tenable. Of the 6, the first 4 are relatively simple explanations given for completeness, and the last 2 are the main ones. So we will see all the 6 explanations. These are taken from shlokas 14 to 23 that we just read. So first the 6 explanations are enumerated. Let us do that. Number 1, karma is the cause, the mula karanam of shariram, the body, which is representative of the entire creation. So karma first. And shariram is the mula karanam of karma, that is body first. So either karma is the first one or body is the first one. And both karma and shariram originate simultaneously, like the 2 horns of a cow growing simultaneously. That is the 3rd argument. And 4th one is karma and shariram are mutually cause and effect. Karma is born out of shariram and shariram is born out of karma. And 5th argument is karma and shariram are part of a long series. From karma shariram comes, from shariram karma comes, from karma shariram comes, and so on. Like seed and tree and tree and tree, seed and tree. And the 6th argument is karma sharira series is anadi. So these are the 6 possible options for karma karya vada. So using these, can the creation be explained? Gaudapada Acharya says that all the 6 ways of explaining will end up with problems. The first option is what? That karma is the mula karanam of the universe. This is not correct because karma means the punyam and papam itself can come only out of some shariram. That has to do some good or some bad action. So without shariram, there is no punya papam. Even Bhagavan cannot create punya papam to generate bodies for anybody else. Otherwise, he will be seen as a partial person. So the world cannot produce punya papam because the world is inert and some living body is required for action and punya papam. And karma cannot be mula karanam because karma requires some other karanam. And the second option is that shariram is the mula karanam. So the first all these points we said earlier is for karma as the mula karanam. Now second option is shariram is the mula karanam of the universe. If you take that, first, Bhagavan gives every jiva a body freely, and at that time, every body's karma account is 0. Thereafter, the karma account starts. Now, the question here will be, what type of body will Bhagavan give to the jiva? The type of body is determined by karma. So, in the absence of karma, Bhagavan cannot give body to anyone because the very body is based on karma. So, shariram cannot be the mula karanam because shariram itself requires a karanam. Now, the third option is what? Karma and shariram originate simultaneously. This is not valid also because if they originate simultaneously, they cannot have cause-effect relationship. Twin brothers cannot be the cause of each other. It is like twin brothers. Because we accept that karma and shariram have cause-effect relationship, their simultaneous origination is not viable. And the fourth option is what? Karma comes from shariram and shariram comes from karma. Why can't this pair of karma and shariram be mutually cause and effect? Further, Gaudapada Acharya says that it is never possible between 2 things, if one is cause and the other is effect, they cannot reverse their roles. Gaudapada says, if Rama is born of Dasharatha, Dasharatha cannot be the son of Rama. So the fourth option is like saying that the father is born out of the son. Karma and shariram cannot be mutually cause and effect. Thus, the first four options are negated. The fifth and the sixth formulations are serious ones and have to be carefully understood. I have 5 more minutes. Let me see how much I can cover. So, the fifth, what is the fifth formulation? Shariram has come out of karma. Karma has come out of its previous shariram and not some other shariram. So, the previous shariram came out of its previous karma. Its previous karma came because of its previous shariram and so on. So, karma 1 produces shariram 1. Shariram 1 produces karma 2. Karma 2 produces shariram 2. And shariram 2 produces karma 3 and so on. Similar to our producers, parents producing us, and they are produced by their parents and so on. So, there is no fallacy of the mutual cause-effect relationship here. Therefore, karma-sharira series is the creation. And Gaudapada Acharya says that this formulation is not valid because in this particular series, you get an endless series without a beginning. The series will have infinite regress with no finality. The final answer cannot be given because every answer leads to another question. This is the infinite regress fallacy. When there is infinite regress problems, one can never talk about Moola Karanam. How did a particular tree come can never be answered. But what is the fundamental original cause is the conundrum of any darshana, whatever may be the philosophy. So, in this fifth formulation, the original cause cannot be determined. And the sixth formulation is, the question of the original cause itself is wrong because the series is anadi. Karma Shariram series is without a beginning. And when a series does not have a beginning, how can the question of what is the beginning be asked? According to Vedic theory, creation is anadi karma sharira series. The series of karma shariram without a beginning is the Vedic theory of creation. What is wrong with this approach? Gaudapada says that this is fine up to a particular period during karma yoga and upasana yoga stages. When you probe into it in the jnana yoga stage, this theory is not satisfactory because there are logical fallacies in this theory also. There are two fallacies that will be discussed by, Gaudapada Acharya. He asked the question, when you talk about anadi karma sharira series, what does it mean? It means beginningless karma shariram series. Anadi karma series, sharira series means beginningless karma sharira series. Vedanta says that anadi, beginninglessness, is an adjective. Anadi is an adjective. And when you say beginningless karma sharira series, which one of these three does the adjective beginningless belong to? To karma or sharira? Anadi karma or anadi shariram or anadi series? All the three are there. Which of these three is anadi? Anadi karma is anadi or shariram is anadi or the series is anadi? You cannot say anadi karma because karma is never anadi because every karma is born out of the previous shariram. And anadi shariram is also not acceptable because every shariram is caused by previous karma. Therefore, anadi has to go only with the series only. So, according to Vedanta, the word series is only a concept. What is a series? It is only a concept. There is no such a thing called the series other than the individual members. Fruit salad, for example, if you take, look for the salad in the plate. Salad is only a word and there are only individual fruits in the plate. Series is only a conceptual construct. There is no such thing called the series at all. Therefore, anadi karma sharira series is not even grammatically possible. This is fallacy number one. And the next is a more serious fallacy and has to be understood much more carefully. Gaudapada Acharya says that if karma sharira series is anadi, there is no chance for moksha at all. This is very scary. If karma sharira series is anadi, there is no chance for moksha at all. This is called anirmoksha prasanga doshaha. Anirmoksha prasanga doshaha. Why? Gaudapada talks about this in shloka number 30, but we have to apply that here. We have not come there yet. So if karma sharira series is without beginning, whatever is anadi will be ananta also. Brahman is anadi and endless also, ananta is endless. What cannot be created cannot be destroyed also. If karma sharira series is ananta or endless, there is no chance of moksha at all. Karma cycle never ends, and so no chance of moksha from rebirth. Suppose if it is argued that the karma sharira series is anadi, but it has an end for a particular case by doing some spiritual sadhana and end the series one day, for example, Gaudapada Acharya says that line of argument also has a problem. Suppose the anadi karma sharira series ends one day, that will mark the end of samsara. When samsara ends, that end will mark the beginning of moksha. When samsara ends, that will mark the beginning of moksha. Gaudapada Acharya says that whatever begins in time will have an end. And so the moksha that begins after samsara ends will satisfy, you know, will itself end on some later day. So then samsara will begin. After this moksha ends, samsara will begin again. Thus there will be a series of samsara ending moksha, moksha beginningless ending. So it keep on going. There will be thus only temporary moksha, and according to Veda, temporary moksha is not moksha at all. I'll finish in a couple of minutes. So the anadi karma sharira series has the fallacy that no moksha is possible. So how can then Veda prescribe a srishti in which moksha itself is not possible? Veda will never talk about the end of samsara and beginning of moksha at all. What is then moksha? It is only understanding that srishti is not present in all three periods of time. These are all shockers. Srishti is not present in all three periods of time. Origination of the world has to be negated. Existence of the world has to be negated. Appearance of the world has to be accepted. And the appearance is because of avidya or maya, ignorance or mithya. So once I understand that this world is mithya, I can claim that I have been mukta purushaha all the time. I am not working for moksha. If I work for moksha and moksha comes one day, that moksha will also go away. I should understand that aham satya nitya muktaha asmi. So the world is an appearance and will never affect my moksha at all. And I have never been a samsari at any time. This is Gaudapada Acharya's Ajativada. So that topic is concluded in the 23rd verse. So the conclusion is karma also is an appearance, shariram also is an appearance because of maya. They are all appearances in me, the Sakshi. I am the Sakshi Chaitanyam, the witness consciousness. And that Sakshi I do not have to get liberation. I only have to understand that I am, I have been, I ever will be Muktaha. Giving reality to the world is the cause of the problem. With this, refutation of the Vedic theory is also over. And later, Gaudapada Acharya will discuss one more point. If Vedic theory of creation is not a fact, this is incidental, we are just only stating it here. If Vedic theory of creation is, you know, if it is not a fact, why did Veda compromise with the fact and talk about a creation? It is a deliberate compromise because a person cannot accept the idea of no creation in the beginning itself. Initially, we are all sure that there is a world, and so we are attracted to scriptures that talk about creation. Vedanta takes us out of samsara, which was never there to begin with. Initially, if the scripture says that there is no samsara, when we feel samsara, we will reject the scripture. Vedanta employs this method of adhyaropa and apavada. It accepts that there is a problem of samsara. Builds an elaborate scheme of karma theory to explain it.
and then explains later that there is no problem in all three periods of time, no samsara at all. However, within the appearance, karma theory has relevance, but it does not have absolute reality. So with this, all the theories of creation, they have been refuted. So we'll see further in the next webinar. Yo veda dav swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti leenasya parasamaheshwarah. Krishna arpanamastu narayana.